Okay, gentlemen, we shall continue Mitzvah with Hilchos Yom Tov. Those of us who want to see Rabbi Feingold is displaying a picture of his today's where he was on the beach, and it's very nice to share with us the. Before we continue with Hilchos Hachona, which is the next topic that you're going to be seeing, Be'ez Hashem, I want to address an interesting shayla which the poskim discuss. Yom Tov Sheni is unique in a way that you could have theoretically two Yidden. One is obligated to keep Yom Tov Sheni if he's a Ben Chutz La'aretz, whilst his next door neighbor is a Eretz Yisrael degree person who keeps only one day. Now, they may be right next to each other. Well, assuming they keep social distancing, they might be right next to each other. One keeps 2 days Yom Tov, one keeps 1 day Yom Tov. The question which the poskim address is the following. Is a person who keeps 2 days Yom Tov allowed to ask a person who keeps 1 day Yom Tov to do Malach on his behalf? Now, there could be two scenarios in that. There could be one scenario which is actually taking place in Chutz La'aretz. So say you've got somebody who keeps 1 day Yom Tov, who is staying with you or whatever, just here for Yom Tov, and you know that he only keeps 1 day, can you ask him to do that? That's not such a good question. It is a question. It's not such a good question because we learned yesterday that in Chutz La'aretz you may not do any melachas in public, even if you are a person that keeps 1 day Yom Tov. So that scenario is not so great. As to whether you can ask him to do melacha in private, perhaps, but that's not. You could argue that's a good question. You could argue it's a good shayla. But certainly an excellent question is the same setup in Eretz Yisrael. So you've got a person like us that we keep 2 days Yom Tov and one Eretz Yisrael, and obviously everybody keeps 1 day Yom Tov there. Can you ask somebody to switch a light on for you in Eretz Yisrael? Can you ask somebody to switch the air conditioning on in Eretz Yisrael on the second day? He's switching on air conditioning for you, for himself anyway. Can you ask him to do it? Can you ask, if you can't ask him, can you ask him b'derech hamizah? Can you ask him in a way that you normally ask a goy? He's actually more likely to understand what you mean than the goy. You know, that kind of thing. You know, it's a bit dark. What can we do about it? Kind of thing. And the goy, like, so why don't you switch the light on? Well, I can't really elaborate, but, you know, it's a bit dark. All that kind of lingo, which is sometimes a bit hard for the goy to comprehend what you're trying to get to. For this Yid Yerushalayim, he'll have exactly what you mean. Do you have to say the remez in order for him to switch the light on for you? Or can you ask outright? Can you not ask at all? What's the halacha with regards to a Ben Chutz La'aretz asking a Ben Eretz Yisrael to the melacha for you on second Yom Tov?
Sure.
Why?
The second day for me is a drabbanon, and for me to ask somebody else who's allowed to do it is also a drabbanon.
So you are actually making. Rabbi Feingold says, like we find that you're allowed to do amir lenochi for a double drabbanon, so surely that should also be a double drabbanon. So you're allowed to ask a goy on Shabbos to do amir lenochi. So that's asking a goy to do, that's only a drabbanon. And if you ask him to do something which is only a drabbanon, so just tiltul muktzah or something like that, there will be a double drabbanon, which is in most cases permitted. Right, but now you're making a hanocha. Rabbi Feingold makes an assumption that you can compare the issa of Amir Lenochi to Amir Yisrael. Who says that shus to shus is permitted when maybe Amir Lenochi is the only scenario that is permitted? Maybe Amir Yisrael is not included in that. Maybe Amir Lenochi is more chamo. Maybe you cannot ask in the first place to do melacha for you, because chachamim were goyza on Amir Lenochi, and they were matir shus to shus. Perhaps they were never matir Amir Yisrael. Maybe they were never matir. So can you ask a goy to do melacha, a yid to do melacha for you? So it could be worse than a Shabbos goy. A yid could be a very bad Shabbos goy. A real shayla.
On Shabbat, somebody who has already taken in Shabbat can ask another Jew.
Very good. So, Brad, what you are saying is actually fantastic, because there is a lot in common with those two sinners. A lot in common. It's really a lot in common, and many poskim, including Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliezer, want to compare those two shailas. It could very well be. But how do you know that you can actually ask a yid who has not been mekavel Shabbos? How do you know you can ask him to do melacha? Yeah, I mean you're right. It is a lot in common. So lemaisa, you're probably right. Most poskim and Rabbi Feingold is therefore maybe even more stringent than many poskim. There are. Moshe addressed this question. He says he's really not sure about it. Moshe has got a tshuva, which was written, in the 1970s. He's not sure about it. He can really see both sides of the coin. That maybe Ramir Yisrael is more stringent. Maybe you cannot ask a yid to do melachas for you. Maybe you can't. Maybe it's more stringent than asking a goy to do melacha. However, at the end, it seems to be more approaching the mahalach that no, you can actually ask, and it's probably no worse than Amir Al-Nochi. And he says that he goes though far, and that's why Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Eliezer also want to have such a thought that perhaps he was never even included in Amir Al-Nochi. When Chachamim forbade you to ask a goy to do melachos, they may not ever have included a yid. So it could even be that Amir Al-Yisrael is not included in Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. If that's the case, you can ask outright, and that's what the Shlomo Zalman really takes on that approach. You can actually ask outright a yid to the melach for you on the second day Yom Tov. And as Brad is suggesting, the same would therefore be also with regards to Kabbalah Shabbos. And it's all based on the fact that you can also really be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. It's all in your mind. You could really be a person that is going to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. You don't even have to move there. Well, if your intention is to go there, then you're going to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael to some extent, and certainly once you're there, you can easily make yourself just by a mental decision, and you're going to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, based on that, it's all in your mind, really. Of course, there's a lot of practicalities are involved, but the starting point is really a decision in your mind. Consequently, he said that maybe since you can also make yourself and become a Ben Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the Gzeira may not be included. Amir Lenoch is a Gzeira that you can ask a goy to do something because you know you like this, the whole Shabbos is going to go down to drain. You can ask the goy to do anything for you on Shabbos. Here, however, you're not going to destroy the second Yom Tov because you can really become a Ben Eretz Yisrael if you wish to become. So therefore, the Gzeira of Amir Lenochi may not apply. And therefore, you may perhaps outright, straight out, ask a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do melachas for you. And the same will takipi, as Brad is suggesting, on Friday night, if you have actually been mekabel Shabbos, and your next door neighbor has not been mekabel Shabbos, you can, according to Shlomo Zalman, ask outright, without remiza at all, you can ask him to do melachas for you, by asking, please, do you mind? I forgot, can you switch the light on or off for me? It's not Shabbos for you yet. Because it's not relevant for me. It's not in that Torah yet. It's not in that world of Isurim yet. I found it interesting that Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring that Shaila at all. Mishnah Berurah doesn't address that question as to whether you can ask a Yid to Melacha for you. It may have to do with the fact that it wasn't so common. The traveling and the world has become so much smaller. The international traveling and moving has become so much more easier than 100 years ago, and therefore it could very well be that the Mishnah Berurah just didn't feel it as a relevant discussion point. But it is interesting the Mishnah doesn't actually speak about Amir Al-Yisrael. It's true to say there are poskim who forbid it consistently and radically. They say you cannot ask a yid to do melach for you. But it's a minority opinion, but majority opinion hold that it's actually permitted. Okay, Siman Tov Tzadizayin discuss a new shaila altogether, which is Dina Chonab Yom Tov. A very interesting discussion as well. To be clear, as background, perhaps a bit of a background, we need to address two points. Are you allowed? The first one is: are you allowed to catch, to trap animals on Yom Tov? Tzeda on Yom Tov. We are now moving away from second day Yom Tov. Let us be clear. We are back to the first day Yom Tov. This is not, we've completed the discussion of Yom Tov Sheni. We're now going back to general Hilchas Yom Tov. So you're allowed to do Melechas Tzod on Yom Tov. Why?
Why?
Why can you not trap an animal on Yom Tov? Okay. Okay, so we learned, well, I mean, the question is that we learned that Eichel Nefesh is permitted, didn't we? So normally you trap an animal to shecht it, to eat it. So it's unlike, I don't know, boina or koisev, it's a melacha, which is very, 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 very much in the world of Eichel Nefesh. You trap an animal to eat it. There's no way you can have that, you can shecht that cow without trapping it first. So really it should be part of Eichel Nefesh, and really should be mutter. However, we have learned in Simon Tov Tzadi Heisiv Beis, Siv Bochshem, we're learning, but it's moving on. We learned that it's one of those exceptions. Why? Why is it exception? Page 202, we learned. Simantov to the ACV base, page 202 in our editions, Ketzira, harvesting, Techino, grinding, Vetzira, Veschito, squeezing, Tzeda, and trapping, catching animals, those are exceptions. Although, really, it should be Eichel Nefesh. You're doing all those melachas to eat, whether it's the harvesting, whether it's the grinding, whether it's the squeezing, whether it's the trapping. These animals, these are really things that you're doing. These are actions you're doing to eat. It's nevertheless, it's also, asum chachamim. Chachamim forbade this. And the reason is, as we learned in Mishnah Berurah, Seif Katan, Yud Gimel, that chachamim forbade this because these are generally, and you normally do them as, in big amounts, right? The harvesting, we're concerned that if you're going to allow harvesting, you're going to be leaving all the harvesting of the season, you're going to leave it for Yom Tov. You need only a kilo for Yom Tov, but the rest is just going to be busy harvesting the whole season's worth. Similarly also, all the melachas, which you tend to be in bulks, in big amounts, which is a lot of work, we chachamim forbade because you're going to end up just doing too much on Yom Tov. We don't trust you to do only a little bit as needed, as required. We are going to chachamim suspect you're going to end up doing much too much because these are generally melachos was done in bulks. Trapping, for some reason, also falls into that category. I'm not 100% sure why. But say it also falls in that category. I would have assumed you only catch one cow. I would have assumed you only trap one chicken. I would have assumed you normally tend to trap only one animal, but it seems to be that I'm wrong, and Chachamim put it within the category of those melachas which you tend to do in larger amounts, and therefore it's part of the Issa. We discussed in that year on Simon Tov Tzadihei, Seif Beis, in the Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Yud Gimel, it brings two opinions, some hold that it is an Issa, the Rabbanon, that's Loshon Shulchan Aruch, Chachamim forbade the performing of those melachas, it's a rabbinical restriction. However, some others hold that it's actually midoraisa, and it's not part of the head of Eichel Nefesh. So actually, by trapping an animal, by squeezing, by harvesting, even if it's for purpose of eating, nevertheless, you're going to be over on midoraisa because it's not in the category of Eichel Nefesh. It's actually a melacha. As simple as that. Machloek is as to whether those melachas are awesome. They are awesome. All right. Tzedah is part of that. Any thoughts on that? Why is Tzedah in the category of those melachas, those exceptions? I'm not clear in that. I'm not sure. Why would you assume that you're only going to...
Fish are caught in large amounts.
Pardon?
Fish are definitely caught in large amounts.
Right. So
animals may be less, so I don't know.
Yeah, so you're right. I was thinking about that too, because we're going to see soon, we're going to be talking about fish. I was just my reservation though was that I don't know if the prototype of Tzedah is with fish. You're right, fish we're going to see shortly in Siv Aleph that fish is a discussion and fish is normally of course trapped in large amounts. I would have assumed that the prototype of Tzad is not fish but mammals. And therefore, I would have guessed that it's not the typical. But perhaps that's the answer. Perhaps we would have assumed that since fish is trapped in large amounts, then therefore it's not included in Hetevar Echal Nefesh. Okay, that's point number one. Just yeah.
Is Tzeda Shayach for behemoths or just chayas?
Both, everything. From insects. Oh, very good. We'll speak about that. But in principle, you're right. I mean, you're right, and we'll be talking about that. There is, of course, we'll talk about that, whether it's mechuz tzeid or not, or min or nitzad or not, but the melacha be'etzem is a melacha which applies to any animal, from insects to the greatest mammals. So right. Now, okay.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
The Rabbanim made certain enactments to safeguard Shabbos. So we're not allowed to do certain things, grammar, like pull on a dishwasher. It's not, just pull on a dishwasher to load it, close the door, it comes on a timer. We're not allowed to do. But
correct.
Because we are allowed. And I want to ask a question on this. And as far as I understand, that if things like that were allowed, then whole factories would be running. Grammar, let's say. They could be easily today.
Absolutely.
We might say to the guy, go and check me a cow for my food, for my lunch. And by the way, do the other hundreds. At the same time, because you've got your whole gear out, you've got the, whatever the situation, it might go too far and it might become business.
So you are explaining, what are you explaining?
Why do we need so many, why are we scared? We're going to shecht 100 cows and he's going to have one meal.
But that's a good. I like your svara very, very much. Your svara is an excellent svara, and I think we're going to touch on similar svara later on. But according to you, you still need to explain to me why only those melachas mentioned over here. Why is it the melachas mentioned in Siman Tov Tzadi Beis, which is the harvesting, the squeezing, the threshing, the catching, the trapping? Why would you not say the same therefore on cooking? Cooking is permitted. Why are those separately separated, and why are those also?
Picked that those four I'd done and sold on the wholesale markets to people. Sam mentioned fish, so I think that's a good example because just not throwing nets out into a sea or river and catching a whole batch of fish. Which also, I guess, ties up with Ezra's argument about undermining the whole Shabbat theme.
I like that svara very much. Whilst it's not exactly in line with the words of the Mishnah Berurah, but I really value your svara very, very much. I think it's a very strong argument. I think it's a really solid argument that it is very. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that this is very likely to lead into a general degrading of the festival and of Yom Tov because it's so close to business-related activities. It's so likely and so close that it's going to lead to the absolute Chilul Yom Tov. It's a very, very good svara. Okay, I really like that. Alright, okay, we'll be talking more about Tzedah and Sif Aleph, which we're going to leave Himirtz Hashem for Sunday Shir, but we've got a lot of the groundwork to be prepared for that. Okay. I wish you a very good Shabbos, gentlemen. I wish you a very, very good Shabbos.